It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again today for It's a Good Life. It's so good to be able to speak with you and share these things with you from the Word of God. I pray for you. You may be wondering, how can I pray for you if I don't even know your name? Well, I pray for each person who listens to this program. Well, I pray that God would bless each individual who tunes into the program, and I pray, first of all, that you would know Jesus as your Savior. And then I pray that those people around you would know Jesus Christ as Savior. I also pray that each one of us would live for the glory and honor of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, now, as we think of this, I'd like for us to go to Proverbs chapter 15. You know that many people despise their souls. You say, well, how is that possible? Well, let's look on, and maybe the Lord will open our eyes to the fact that there are people who despise the soul. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 32, it says this, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul." Now, in this section of Scripture, Solomon, in a few words, gives an account of those people he found that he could not help. Well, why couldn't he help them? It's because they made their silliness visible to all men. They refused instruction, or in other words, guidance, and by doing this, they showed that they despised their own souls. But we see people like that today. Some despise the soul in their opinion of it. One opinion is that nothing exists but what can be seen. Well, I'm sure you've heard the old illustration, I can't see my brain, so therefore I don't have a brain. Well, does that mean I don't have a brain? Well, some people act like they don't have a brain, and I believe all of us have been kidded about that a time or two in our lives. And we can't see the brain, and we act like we don't have one many times, so therefore we must not have a brain. Well, that does not mean it does not exist. I can't see my heart, but I know I'm alive because I have to have a heart to live. Well, the soul does exist, but some despise the soul in their opinion of it, in that they say it doesn't exist because it can't be seen. Well, another opinion is that the soul is not intelligent. Well, some think if they deny that the soul is not capable of salvation or condemnation, they will not have to answer to God about neglecting salvation. You know, they sort of push it aside and say, oh, well, I'm not going to have to give an account because the soul doesn't really exist. And then others deny the immortality of the soul. These are the people who despise their souls in that they can justify themselves in living like beasts because they reason that they will die like beasts. In other words, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. In other words, living only for the moment, living for the day, living for the good time. Well, some not only despise the soul in their opinion of it, but some despise the soul in practice. They abuse the soul. The soul is abused when it is devoted to the service of the devil, when we serve the devil instead of serving God. Well, the Bible says that if you're not for God, you're against him. And if you're against God, that means you're serving the devil. And we need to understand that today, that is the truth. We should not hesitate to let people know that if they're not for God, they're against him. And we need to let every person we come into contact with know that they need to be serving God. Well, they abuse the soul not only by devoting their time and their efforts to the devil, but they also abuse the soul when it is defiled with the pollution of sin. Also, when it is deceived by lies, and also when it is excessively satisfied by the world. Well, notice something else. There is a hazard or a risk to the soul. It's risk when exposed to the wrath of God by willful sin. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Now, you know, today God loves you. God loves me. God loves the individuals in this world, and He wants them to understand. He wants us to understand that there is a hazard. There's a risk. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well, there's a hazard also when a life is built upon the sand instead of on the rock. The rock, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, the Bible says. And we also see that the soul is risked when it is placed in jeopardy for the things of the world. Love not the things of the world, the Bible says, but we are to love the things of God. The person who despises his soul neglects to take care of the sin wounds. They fail to get the wants of the soul supplied. They fail to guard their soul. They neglect the soul's eternal welfare. Well, there's something missing in their lives, and that's because they're neglecting the soul. Those who despise their soul consider the body more important than the soul. You know, we may go to the gym 3 times a day, 7 days a week. We may drink and eat all the vitamins that we can find, but the body was made to serve the soul, not the things of the world. But those who despise their soul use it to please the body. In other words, if it feels good, do it. And we need to understand that simply by devoting ourselves to building up the body and keeping the body healthy, well, that is doing nothing to keep the soul healthy. Notice something else here. There is a silliness of despising the soul. This is seen when we consider the nature of the soul. First of all, the soul is divine in origin. In other words, in its beginning. The soul was made, not made of dust as the body was, but was the breath of Almighty God. It had the image of God stamped on it and is the masterpiece of God's workmanship on the earth. The soul can know God. The soul is capable of talking with God. The soul is capable of being set apart for the use of God by the Holy Spirit. We also see that the soul is capable of self-consciousness. Self-consciousness is in the nature of the soul. Notice, the silliness of despising the soul is also seen when we consider the nearness of the soul. It is man's possession. Our soul is our own. We are entrusted with it as God has committed it to us to be used by us for His honor and glory. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says that everything was created for God and His honor and His glory. Everything was created for God, and that includes our soul. The soul is the man himself. That's the real person. That's the real woman. The woman or man is a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "Man became a living soul." Man and woman became a living soul. Well, the silliness of despising the soul is also seen when we consider the purchase price of the soul. It cannot be bought with silver and gold, according to the Scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 speaks of this. Silver and gold could not satisfy the desires of a soul or its needs. Neither silver nor gold, not money, none of this takes care of the sins of the world, of the soul. We cannot be redeemed with corruptible things. The soul can only be bought by the blood of Christ. Christ gave Himself, His own precious blood, to be a ransom for the soul. He paid the price. Christ made His soul an offering for ours. Nothing less could buy souls back out of the hands of the divine judgment. God says there must be a price paid. Jesus paid that price. Nothing else could save the soul from eternal ruin other than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's His blood, through His blood. Many things can be said about the silliness of despising the soul. Well, the silliness of despising the soul is seen when we think about the plans made concerning the soul. The Holy Spirit strives with men's souls to save them. The devil goes about constantly trying to damn and destroy the soul. And we look at the projects of God, well, how that we think about the great plans that have been carried out by God because of His great love for souls. He sent His Son to seek and to save lost souls. He's given His Spirit to work upon our spirits and to witness to others. He has appointed ministers of the gospel to watch for our souls. You see, the projects of Satan, think about the plans and devices Satan uses to ruin souls. All the forces of the powers of darkness are kept constantly busy warring against the soul, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Well, the silliness of despising the soul is seen when we consider how long the soul will be alive. The fact that the soul's continual existence is seen, and we need to understand today that the soul is immortal. It will last forever somewhere. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, which will never be blown out or burnt out. The place of the continual existence of the soul will not only live and act when separated from the body, it must be somewhere forever. Now, folks, that's when we think of there is everlasting happiness or everlasting misery. It's designed for souls in the other world, according to their character in this life and according as they are found at death. Let's not despise our souls. Let's devote ourselves to God. How do we devote to God? How do you devote yourself to God? First, you must receive Christ as your Savior. You cannot please God unless you have been born again. Nicodemus came to Jesus in chapter 3 of John and said, "How can a man be born again when he is old?" Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must believe. You must trust. For God sent His only begotten Son into the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life," according to John 3:16. Now that's what Nicodemus was told by Jesus. For the heart must believe unto righteousness. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that is your soul calling out to God, "Lord, forgive me. Save me so I can bring honor and glory to You. Not only now, but later on when I see You face to face and I can say, Lord, thank You for saving me." And you can do that personally one day if you ask Him into your heart right now. Ask Him to come into your heart, and the Bible says He'll save you. And if you are saved, you need to be bringing honor and glory to Him by serving Him today and letting other people know that Jesus loves souls.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.